You ever come by for Jay? No, for me. Your enemy is sleeping, and his woman is free. Thanks for the trouble you took from. I thought I was there. So I never tried. And Jane came by with a lock of your hair. She said that you gave it to her on the night that you planned to go.
Do you like music, or do you like technology, or do you like talking to people? CJSF Radio is the place for you. Here at CJSF, the opportunities are endless. You can interview artists and bands, speak up for what you believe in, your own show, and tons more. To find out more information, visit cjsf.ca.
One of Canada's most prolific writers and poets is Evelyn Lau, who was born and raised in Vancouver, currently resides in Vancouver. She is the author of 12 books, including 7 volumes of poetry, and her poetry has written Acorn Award, the Pat Lowther Award, a National Magazine Award, and a Governor. In 2014, Lau was Vancouver's Poet Laureate, and I've had the privilege of sitting down with her and having her 2 portions of a memoir that I'm currently writing. How I was able to do this was through SFU's editing mini manuscript consultations with writers and poets, and it's ongoing. So you can do that through SFU's continuing education. So I want to check. It was very beneficial to me. I've noticed that Lau is also going to be teaching a poetry series for the Weekend Writer, starting September 21st, 2024. And now I'm going to be reading a portion of a poem written by Chief Dan George in his book, My Heart Soars. The poem is called Words to a Grandchild. Perhaps there will be, you will want to sit by my side, asking for counsel. I hope I will be there. But you see, I am growing old. There is no promise that life will live up to our hopes, especially to the hopes of the aged. So I write of what I know, and someday our hearts will meet in these words, if you let it happen. In the midst of a land without silence, you have to make a place for yourself. Those worn out their shoes many times know where to step. It is not their shoes you can wear, only their footsteps. You may follow if you let it happen. That is a portion of that poem taken from this collection by Chief Dan George. It was published by Hancock House Publishers in 1989. Thanks for tuning in to Art's Edge. This has been one of 2 weeks of poetry across Canada. Tune in again next week for more stories and song, poetry and poets in a great nation. Stay tuned to Girls So Groovy coming up next. And now I leave you with not a final song, but a radio tale. This is Radio Tale number 26, which features some of my poetry and many songs with poems, with poetic lyrics that reflect on my life. Good night, everybody. Have a wonderful weekend.
Radio Tale number 26, Waking Up in Grad School.
Hello, is there anybody in there? Just not if you can hear me. On home. Come on, come on now. I hear your breathing.
Before graduate school, I was asleep in my life, wire, street smart, and observant of the world around me. There was something I wasn't seeing. I just didn't see the big picture. Failed to see forest through the trees or the branches. I also couldn't see some things within my family that were right in front of my face. It seems that I had a skewed perspective of my life prevented me from seeing what was right in front of me. Little did I know, I have been asking the right questions. My inquiry has always been in the right ballpark, so to speak. As I ask questions about my ancestry, maternal and paternal, and question my DNA, who do I look like? Who do I take after? What was my grandfather like? Where do our people descend from? Despite my incessant questioning that rises up every few years, people always avoided my inquiry. And so the questions that I sought in my mind were out of reach. Little did I realize they were closer than I thought, tugging at my sleeve, in fact, whispering, "Wait, you know me." Although I eventually stopped asking questions in history, my inquiry started up again after my mother died. I began to ask questions about family, ancestry. After I had excavated all that I could through family documents and interviews with family and friends, I journeyed to my mother's childhood home, where I spent time with her lifelong friend, a woman whom Mum met when she went to boarding school at the Catholic convent in Rosetown, Saskatchewan. Although my friend provided me with much information about my mom's childhood and her consequential plight with mental illness, there were still many questions at the time. Rilke says in Love to a Young Poet, try to love the questions themselves as if they were locked rooms or books written in a very foreign tongue. Don't for the answers given to you now, because you would not be able to live them. And the point is to live everything. Live the questions now. Perhaps then, far in the future, you will gradually, without even noticing it, live your way into the answer. Having hit a wall, I bother with questions about our ancestry, only to discover that he is irritated by my inquiries, and so I stop asking him questions. The next step, I assume, is to go to my mom's sisters and ask them the questions, but like my father, they too are vague and feign ignorance. In hindsight, I realize that their vagueness was an escape. They didn't want to be the one to break the news to me. Although my ancestral journey has kept me occupied and distracted from grieving the loss of my mother, each time that I resurface to remember that my mother is gone, I spiral back into grief. And so, like Alice, I fall down. After hitting my bottom, a place of hopeless indifference, I succumb to stay there for a few years, believing that I will never find my way out again. Fortunately for me, life had other plans.
Wake up, Susie, wake up, Susie, wake up.
Just when I this is my grief unfolds into a place of hopeful imagining, an unfolding that leads to academia, a place that without knowing it leads me to the answers I have been looking for. It is a place that calls me to attention. It is a place that awakens me.
Road. Follow the yellow brick road.
Follow the yellow brick road. Follow the yellow brick
road. Follow the yellow
brick road. The yellow brick road.
Follow the yellow brick road. Follow the yellow brick road. Follow, 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 follow.
On my first night of classes, my classmates and I are intrigued of Karen Myers' Living Inquiry, a practice that asks that we reflect upon our lives and document our lived experience, and so on writing my life story of taking it apart and putting it back together again. As the writing unfolded in this class, and as I focused on living inquiry, much of my life unfolded, many aspects of my life that I had forgotten, repressed, denied, packed away in boxes, it all came rushing back. So as I engaged in the work of Dr. Lynn Fells in performative inquiry, I began to incorporate the data findings of my lived experience into my work in radio broadcasting. As lost moments surface, a path is laid in the walking, a journey for my words to travel towards. As Annie Dillard suggests, I am digging a trench that my words will follow so my writing can forge its path, so that my story can find its way. I am making memory and memoir.
I can still remember when I bought my first guitar. I remember how good the feeling was, proudly in my car. And I played my friends 1,000 times my two-song repertoire. And I told my mom her oldest son was gonna be a star. I bought all the Beatle records, and I tried to sound like Paul. I bought all the old Buddy Hollies, the 78s and all. And I sat by my record player, playing every song they played. And I watched them all on TV. Rock and roll, I gave you all the best years of my life. The dreamy, sunny Sundays, all the magic moonlight.
As I gather my personal collection of songs, with a landscape that reflects my life, I see that this musical repertoire is a living biography that will never end.
The long and winding road. That road before.
As my thesis takes form, I weave the living inquiry with lost moments and radio tales, and then illustrate how the prof's life into my text to illuminate and unfold identity. Further to this process, I am surprised to find myself on unfamiliar new identity formation is presented in the latter stages of my thesis writing. The content I refer to, which is related to my previous inquiries into my familial ancestry, as was noted earlier in this radio tale, led me to an ancestral DNA test. The results confirmed that my father is not my biological father.
Reborn in shivering, spat out on new terrain, unsure, unconvincing,
is faint and shaky out.
While this new information doesn't change the content of my academic findings to date, it changes many of the filters that I used to get to these findings. For instance, my experience filter is altered. I now have an explanation for other people's behavior. One, the reason my father treated me as though I were guilty of something. The reason why my relatives treated me like I was outside of the family. Three, why some of my aunts whispered about me and my mom. Why some of my cousins of the neighbor teased me and told me I was adopted, that my parents hadn't wanted me, that I was an Indian child, that I wasn't an Indian child, that I was just left somewhere, that my parents threw me away. You know how kids can be. I heard so many things when I was little. Only now that I know that my father wasn't my father, all of that makes sense, all of it. And although they didn't get everything right, they got the basis of it right. There was so much whispering and there were so many stories that would take many years for me to piece together. What I now know, it changed me. It changes my perspective and makes me understand things differently. Although I can't go back and live things differently to be at ease with the past, I also understand my father differently. I now understand why he looked at me sideways, as though I were guilty of something, as I had done something wrong. He was a man who couldn't hide his pain, his anger, his heartache. He was a man without a poker face. He wore his anger on his face and his sleeve, and come hell or high water, he didn't try to hide either. I think the saddest part about finding out that my dad was not my biological father is the shame that he would have carried about this. Although my mom wasn't a woman whose character led her to have affairs, her mental illness was of the sort that she had mania-induced flings. The sad part about her promiscuity is that my mom must have also felt deep shame about this, which in turn would have fed her and her low self-esteem. And the even sadder part of it all is that my parents didn't get out from under their shame and their pain to constantly living it again and again, and they never got beyond it.
25 years and life is still. We last figured that the world was made up of this brotherhood of them for whatever it means. And so I climbed to the back in bed just to get it off my walls in my head. And I'm feeling a little peculiar.
Like all underprivileged groups, their rise from the ashes takes longer, as does clawing their way out of the bottomless pit of homelessness. And so, for many, they are left to fend for themselves, with many remaining forever on the outside looking in. To further illuminate this idea of being on the outside looking in, we look to British songwriter Bernie Taupin's depiction of such class divisions in the song Mona Lisas and Mad Hatters. This metaphorical song was released on Elton John's 1972 album Honky Chateau. The song, which is Taupin's take on New York City, hearing a gun go off near his hotel window during his first visit to the city. It also illustrates how people who don't are living at the edge, on the outside looking in, while the privileged who do not always see the big picture are left to write history. The privileged takes the cake and calls shots. The underdog takes his place on the edge. In having discovered wide awakeness in grad school, to unravel my lived experience, I have been inspired to explore how music weaves itself throughout my life to illuminate a musical soundscape interspersed with a multitude of lost moments. After these lost moments intertwined with other lost moments, they were further explored through a performative inquiry in the realm of radio. The process breathed life into text and audio to solidify as radio tales. As a result, the compilation of the living inquiry, the lost moments, and the radio tales becomes a living document, which in turn reflects the unfolding of a living identity. Makes me wait me so long to get here. Little did I realize that by documenting the living inquiry and then exploring it further through the performative inquiry, that I would get to this place of quiet, reflective understanding. I am so grateful. After so many half-finished dreams, dead ends, and questions about which way to go when I hit the fork in the road, it is such a gift.
Now I know Spanish Harlem are not just pretty words to say.
If you're a regular listener of this show or other shows on CJSF, we'd love to hear from you. Tell us about what you like and why you like it, as well as ways we can improve our programming. To leave comments, please email cjsfprog@sfu.ca or call 778-782-4423. This information can also be found on our website at www.cjsf.ca.
This is CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, independent and diverse campus community radio from Simon Fraser University.
Some girls should be superb, but I think... Oh, bondage! Up yours!
Hey, 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 and welcome to another new episode of Girly So Groovy, the only show dedicated to the women who rock, and of course, for you, the loyal listener who loves them. We're a show where the music always speaks for itself. I'm your host, Trevor Klendert, bringing you 2 full hours of fabulous, phenomenal, fantastic female-fronted radio week after week. It's a 2-hour mixtape of female-fronted radio, and that is going to be the case this week. I am so excited for this show. We have new music that I've been waiting a while from. New music on the way from Alison Goldfrapp. We've got music coming up from Jessica Hoop, Emily Wells, The Kill, Santi Gold. All of this first hour. The second hour is all its own treats, tricks, and surprises. But yeah, I was trying to think what kind of tone I wanted to set for the start of this particular week's episode. Spring is in the air. It's that time where you want to kind of just feel the rhythm and get moving. So I thought, let's start with a bit of a dance party. Alison Goldfrapp.